All right, ladies and gentlemen, here for the pop break with the good brother Chris Nunez. What's up, bro? How are you?
What's going on? I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Dude, and we've been stoked for this one. Ladies and gentlemen, we are beyond honored to be joined by an Arnold Classic competitor, Female Image Award recipient, and best known as one of my personal, yours too, personal favorites.
Hashtag flex appeal.
That's right. WWE's own Dana Brooke, please welcome to the show, Miss Ashley Mae Sabara. Ashley, thank you for a few minutes. How are you?
Hey, guys. I am doing amazing. And what an intro. You guys make me feel so special. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, we're on.
We try our best. Yeah. That's what we try to do here.
We're on it.
Thank you.
So Ashley, we wanted to ask you, you know, how did you get into the business, kind of like your origin story? Did a meteor hit the earth and Dana Brooke was born? Were you a fan growing up? How did this happen?
I mean, that would be a much cooler story, I think, if a meteor hit the, you know, earth and here I am. You know, I think that would be so cool. But honestly, my story has been quite the journey. I'm seriously blessed with the opportunity of how WWE came into place. But, you know, it's, I always say my motto in life is like a puzzle. Every piece, some way, somehow, kind of fits together.
Wow.
So my story is, you know, I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, you know, just a little humble girl. Family was my life. I have one younger sister, and she's 28, I'm 31, and then my parents. So I was raised in like a very, you know, tight-knit, loving family. And I like to say, you know, honestly, like, roles were reversed, right? My sister was the tomboy, the one that was, like, super outgoing,
really?
All into sports, you know, like, mm-hmm. always wanting to, like, do adventures, and at that time, I was such a girly girl, like, you know, hair, nails, makeup, even when I was, like, 2 or 3 years old, you know, walking around in my mom's heels, and I always wanted to get so close, like, attached to my mom. So I, like, never wanted to be out of my mom's sight. I always was like, oh, I'm going to stay home in Cleveland and all this. And then, you know, transitioned, like, 22 years later, it was just like, wow, you know, I was the one out of the house. I was the one, you know, like, an adrenaline junkie. And it was just completely different. Now my sister's a school teacher. She stays in Cleveland. She's close with my family. I'm the complete opposite. So it's crazy how, like, roles kind of had switched there, but I was a gymnast for 18 years, and gymnastics was my life. I mean, honestly, it was what I, you know, woke up, and, you know, as soon as my eyes woke up, it was like I went straight to the gym, then I went, you know, to school, but my parents had adjusted my school schedule so they could pull me out early to take me right back to the gym for strength and conditioning,
and then I
would practice 4 to 5 hours a night, and that was every single night, Monday through Friday, and then on weekends were my gymnastics. And so, growing up, it was like I never really knew anything else besides gymnastics, and, you know, hard work pays off, and I was always like a determined, you know, person, and I always wanted to control my own destiny. But like anything, when you start at such a young age, you don't know anything else, you know, you don't know anything else. Your body just, as I say, like, you know, you just kind of go. Fear is not an issue when you're young, right? Like,
yeah, exactly, yeah.
You just throw yourself off things. You just don't have a fear. So I never, you know, I just always knew, like, my goal was to be in the Olympics, and that's all I was training for.
Oh,
and
wow.
Just kept going. That was my goal. That was my dream. And, cool. You know, at the age of 12, I was in the Junior Olympic in Norfolk, Virginia, and I wasn't old enough to try out for the Olympic trials yet, but Dominique Luciano was my coach. Dominic DePito, who is another person that is still huge in the gymnastics industry and trains a lot of the Olympians and stuff like that. So I was under, like, a very amazing, talented group of coaches. And so, you know, it was like they were pushing me, and that's, you know, my parents were like, oh, she's on the right path. And when I was in the Junior Olympics, I had cracked my nose on the bar, my head snapped back, and I thought I was, like, paralyzed.
Oh, and it wow.
was, like,
gosh.
After that, it was, like, injury after injury after injury, and I had right ankle reconstructive surgery. And like anything, you know, when you're a kid, you want to keep going, and I was just such a stubborn child, too, as far as when injuries happened. Like, it wouldn't stop. You know, I would always try to push through, fight, do whatever I possibly could. Like, I remember I was in, like, hard cast, and I would be in gymnastics trying to do bar routines. You know, I was like, oh, this isn't going to stop.
That's a good thing,
and my
though.
My coaches were like, don't. Like, stop training bars, because if you fall or you land wrong, you know, you're going to set yourself back even more. But needless to say, injuries is kind of like what had stopped my gymnastics career, and I was crushed. Like, you know, when you're a kid, they ask you in school, what do you want to be when you grow older? People say firefighter, doctor, you know, whatever. It was, I wanted to be in the Olympics.
Nice.
And so I didn't think anything else. I thought that was my path. That was my dream. That was my goal. My parents were like, you need to find something else. You know, it was like, I wanted to go to college on a full ride gymnastics scholarship. And when I got to college, then I would figure out, you know, what I would go to school for. So when gymnastics stopped, my doctor was like, why don't you try diving? And at that time, I was like, what do you mean diving? Like, and they were like, running off a diving board, doing flips, and flipping into the water. And I was like, they're like, a lot of gymnasts transition from gymnastics into diving because it's like lower impact on the body. And
okay, know, that makes sense.
So I was just like, okay, I guess, like, I tried it. And I don't like to sound cocky or anything like that, but it came very easy to me. And I was...
it happens.
I went to, you know, states. I was state camp. So it just... And then I was like, you know, this is not my thing. I was like, you know, I'm... At that time, again, I was such a girl. I lived in Cleveland, Ohio. It was cold outside. I hated getting my hair wet. My makeup would come off. Mascara would be running down my face. This isn't my thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped that, and then I was so lost. I went in, you know, my parents were like, you have to go to college. And again, my parents are my number one support, you know, and everything that I look back and I'm like, wow, you really just had my best interest in everything, you know, and I know I was probably super stubborn, but if it wasn't for them, like, I don't know, you know, what my path or my journey would be. And so needless to say, I was like, all right, here's a college. All right, what's school to go to school for? I was like, all right, fashion merchandising and design, you know, a girl. And so went to school for fashion merchandising, design and business and marketing with a bachelor's in science. And so it was like all that business stuff. I worked 9 to 5, and I was just like, okay, I don't like to be controlled under like a corporation. I want to be the boss. I want to control my own destiny. I was
there,
like, 9 to 5, so this is not for me. And I kept looking at the clock, like, okay, when is it time to, like, get out of work? And I was just, you know, my girlfriend had called me, because I was just uncomfortable in my own skin at this time, too, because it was like, I wasn't in the gym, I had no goals to, like, work for, you know, it was like, and at college, obviously, you go out, you have fun, you eat, you know, and I never, growing up, do any of that, because it was like, all I knew was gymnastics. So it was like, this was all brand new to me. So I was just like, oh, I'm not comfortable. And my girlfriend had called me, her name's Sarah Block, and she's like, Ash, why don't you try, like, fitness, bikini competition? And I was like, Sarah, get out of here. Like, I did, you know, Max Thumb, I did Miss Hawaiian Tropic, I did, you know, a whole bunch of, like, bikini passion type things back when I was in college growing up. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. I was like, I'm not, no, I don't want to do that stuff. Like, no, this is like, you train for 12 weeks, you're on a strict diet, you go up, the judges judge you, and like, you work out in a gym every single day. And my eyes lit up. I was really, I was like, yes, let's do this. So I trained for bikini, and when I was in bikini, I was like, you know, this is just, it was amazing as far as the training standpoint of it, and like, dieting. But I just needed more competition. Like, I just needed, like, that next, you know, step, I guess. And I saw this fitness division with it. So it goes bikini, figure, fitness, and women's bodybuilding. And fitness has, like, a 2-minute strength fitness gymnastics routine. So it, like, has crazy push-ups, jumps, flips, tumbling. So it's all based on, like, your routine and your endurance, as well as the physique round, which means that you get on stage and, you know, you see your physique round and how hard you train and stuff like that. So it was like everything. It's like you can't just pick the prettiest face and the cleanest physique. Now you have to, like, go based on, like, talent and judge on, like, you know, your routine and your performance. That's everything I knew, because floor was my favorite event when I was a gymnastic.
Okay,
so,
gotcha.
Fast forward, I got my pro card in 2012, had one of the best trainers. listeners in the world, my babies. And he was, like, saying, you know, about wrestling and all this stuff. And I was like, no, fitness is the way I want to go. And he got me into the Arnold Classic.
Yes.
And I competed in all the Arnold Classics, Columbus, Brazil, Spain, all over the world. And I was just on the go, you know. I was like, this is all I would go after go after go. And I was insane. And WWE was, like, recruiting, and they came up to me, and they're like, hey, Ash, you know, we love your personality. You're super bubbly. You're fun. You're outgoing. And I looked at my mom, and I was just like, what? Like, WTF. I was like, what is this? You know, because it was like, there's like weird fetishes, you know. It was just like,
that's a good way to put it.
I'm like, this guy wants to wrestle me. Are you kidding me? Like, I look at my mom. I was like, excuse me. I'm like, what are you talking about? I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm sorry. And he's like, no, like WWE. And I'm like, what? And my eyes lit up. Because again, when I was a child, I was like fearless. And my dad and my uncle and my family used to watch WWF. And I would go downstairs and I would see this. And I would be like, wow, what is this? You know? And my mom was like, no, Ash, don't watch that. And then every Sunday morning, me and my dad would, you know, jump off the bed. He would text me, slam me on the bed, and, like, I would do it, like, my stuffed animals, and it was just, like, it was, like, wrestling every Sunday, and I was, like, this is crazy how, you know, the world comes in full circle. I was, like, all right, you know something, I'll give it a try. Like, I love it. I needed that next step, that platform that WWE has. So their facility was in Tampa, Florida. Flew down to Tampa, fell in love with it. Absolutely was like, wow, what is this? You know, the entertainment aspect of it, which I never had done, like acting, you know, like being a bad girl or a good girl. Never had done any of that in my entire life. But, you know, the athletic part of it was like, wow, this is crazy. You're telling me that, like, I can perform, I can wrestle, I can entertain people, I can inspire people, which is what I always wanted to do.
There you go.
And I was okay. This is awesome. So right on the spot, they had given me a contract for 3 years.
Wow.
I signed that, and, you know, here I am. I was like, all right, where do I go? And they're like, you have to move to Orlando, Florida. So I was like, okay, let's go, you know, and
yes.
I moved to Orlando, Florida, which was the city facility. The performance center was just being built down there. So, and that is now NXT,
It
was NXT back then. So
big NXT guys here.
Yeah. NXT was amazing. And just to see what it's become today is spectacular. I mean,
it's awesome.
It's really amazing to see what, you know, Triple H has done with the business and everything down there. And so I moved down there. You know, I had no strings attached back in Ohio, just besides my family. And, you know, I wanted to see where I could, you know, take this to. And I never want what it's in life. I always want to go out there and, you know, give it my all, never regret anything in my life. So I went down there, started training, ended up on TV, was on Monday Night Raw and SmackDown at the time that, you know, this was before any of the brand split. And so I was on both. My schedule was full, lived in Orlando, absolutely loved everything, every experience, everything that was given to me. And here I am today. I'm on SmackDown now, and I feel like in 2020, my career has, I've just really taken it to the next level, and I don't want to stop the momentum by any means. And it's truly been amazing as far as challenging myself as a person, as an individual, but also seeing how many people I can inspire and truly help them know that it's never too late in life to go out and do something. You don't want any regrets in life. And everything, as weird as it sounds, everything in life will fit one way or the other. Because I've been lost. I've been down. I've been, you know, in the ins and outs of in my entire life where I was just like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how this is going to pan out. I don't know where I'm going, what I'm doing. And now it's here, and it's like, you know, everything's clicked. And, you know, like anything in life, there's obviously going to be some, you know, highs and lows through everything. But at the end of the day, I'm so happy where I'm at in life. And the platform
that's so good to hear. We're very happy for you too as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And it's just amazing to be able to, you know, connect with people like you and be able to, you know, get out there and
we appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem. It's been truly amazing.
Well, what an inspirational story. And here you are, like one of our personal favorites. I always love, you know, I was hoping the camera would catch you. I always like it when you do the flip when you come out.
Yes, that's awesome.
The back handspring's always my favorite. I love that.
Because you mentioned the injury before. Like, you wouldn't even know that you were injured doing that flip during your entrance. So that's awesome.
That's my favorite. It's crazy.
I try everything into, you know, everything that I've been through as far as my gymnastics background and, you know, fitness and bodybuilding into, like, my movesets as far as coming out and doing the no-handed flip and then going...
Yeah, you might as well integrate it,
strength and, doing, like, a lot of power moves and, you know, strength moves as well in the during the match. So I just try and tie everything into, like, what I've known.
Dig it. Awesome. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, goals and things. And what an inspirational story. Really cool. I wanted to ask you just had that number one contenders match in the main event on Friday Night SmackDown.
Congrats, by the way.
Yeah, congrats on that. We were pulling for you big time.
Oh, obviously, my God. When I walked into work, I was like, what?
Yes.
And they're like, this is the first time in history that women are main eventing on SmackDown on fire. I was like, no way.
That's so insane. Cool.
And so, yeah, it was super amazing. So thank you so much.
No, we were pulling for you. And obviously, you know, Carmella got the W on that one. But we did notice that awesome Batista-esque set out power bomb. That was awesome.
I give that off to, like, Batista, right?
Yeah.
He's like, I told you.
That was awesome, though.
That dropped and power bombed her.
But, yeah, and that was so cool. But what a great match that was. We were obviously pulling for you. But what is the goal right now? What's the dream now? Obviously, I know you want to inspire, which is the most important thing of all.
That's the most important thing. That's really great.
But is it the SmackDowns? Yeah, go ahead.
It's honestly, you know, sky's the limit here. Again, I had mentioned I signed another new 5-year contract.
Congrats on that.
Just keep improving. Keep, you know, trying to strive for the best, you know, ever. I would love, you know, in my mind, I think Lacey Evans and I work great together.
Yes, I like that team.
We've viewed it before. We've always, you know, she puts up a great fight. You know, so she always pushes me to the best of my abilities. When we come together, I feel like we're a very strong, dominant team together. You know, with that being said, the tag team titles always, I feel like can be, you know, I would love to go up for the tag team titles.
Yes. Gold would look good around your waist, just saying.
Yeah, we'd love to see that gold around your
waist. Yeah, right? It would look really good. I think it would look great. And, you know, Asuka has, you know, the Kabuki Warriors have the titles right now. And Asuka and I have quite the history as well.
Yes.
So I would. You know, I feel like I definitely have unfinished business with her. You know, I would love for Ronda Rousey to come back and...
That's right.
Yeah. You know, Ronda's, you know, close friend of mine, but also a great competitor as well. She really makes me step up my game. So that would be amazing. And obviously the SmackDown Women's title as well. And, you know, sky's the limit, but most, you know, truly, I love getting out there, showing people what I can do, constantly keep improving, and just make everybody understand that, you know, it's never too late to, you know, try and strive for new goals.
Awesome.
Well, so you mentioned, you know, like fitness and being a gymnast. Doing that and then going to wrestling and NXT, was it a hard transition to go back to that lifestyle or
the Arnold Classic?
How did the training change? Was it any different?
You know, it's completely challenging, but you know, I love a challenge. And in my mind, I always wanted to do something that no one else has ever done, and that was wrestle and also compete.
I knew
it was going to be completely different as far as training and as far as being able to dedicate my time 100% into the fitness and bodybuilding shows at the Arnold Classic. But I just wanted to go out there and show the fitness industry and, know, the bodybuilding industry, that this is a way to break into wrestling, and this is a great transition to get into WWE as well, because that's where they have found me. That's where, you know, NXT was at the Arnold Classic in Columbus, and we were running and doing matches and performing, and literally I got off stage, competed at the Arnold, and the next day I was wrestling at the Expo, and it, you know, it was just amazing to have Triple H backstage. I'll never forget, he was at pre-judging, and he ran from the WWE NXT, like, little Expo convention, and came backstage just to give me a hug, just to wish me good luck.
Aww.
But that was amazing, because, you know, he was, he's huge into fitness and bodybuilding, too, so, you know, being able to represent WWE on the fitness stage was, it was a very memorable moment. But as far as training goes, it's completely different. Wrestling, you can't be as lean as you are on the stage, and when you're on stage, it's a 24-hour look, you know?
Yeah.
Diet down, you pull your water out, and you manipulate your body all for that 24 hours, and that's it, and that's all. No energy, absolutely, you're tired, your adrenaline, you know, you're in an adrenaline dump, and you can't wrestle like that, you know? You have to be on your A game when you're in the ring performing, and your mind has to be crisp and sharp. So it's been hard to walk away, I will say, from the fitness and bodybuilding aspect of it, but truly I'm living my best life. And I can always go back. You know, I always say once WWE, I'm finished here, I would love to step back on stage. And if, you know, I have kids once, would love to go back on stage after I have children and, you know, be that mom and be like, hey guys, for all the moms out there, you can do this too.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
That's cool.
That's great.
Thank you.
What a great story. So this is already like super inspirational. But something I've been dying to ask you, Ashley, for a long time. I love that statistician / manager role you played with Titus Worldwide. That was great, but you were also kind of that in-ring competitor at the same time. I always kind of pictured you like that Clark Kent, Kara Danvers, you know, pulls off the glasses, Superman, Supergirl kind of thing, transition.
Right.
Yeah, I always kind of loved that about your character. I just thought that showed another layer.
Super hot, right?
Yeah.
The funny thing is like, one time I did try to, like, wrap my hair up with, like, one of those pins, and I was going to pull the pen out, take my glasses, and stuff,
yes!
Or whatever.
That would have been amazing.
That was a really fun, you know, character that I did get to play with in WWE, and it showed range, I guess I could say, because at the time when they had positioned me for that character, I was like, oh, gosh, this is different. This is a different side of me.
Somebody has to crunch the numbers, though.
Yeah, I was according to my calculations. According to my calculations, and I, you know, crunching the numbers, and you know, working under Titus, I always say it was one thing to be next to him in the ring, but also then in the community work as well outside of the ring.
Yeah.
Being in that role with Titus, he is super well-known in, you know, community work and charity work. So being able to be with him doing things and seeing how he does things really taught me a lot. So it was a lot of fun in and out of the ring, because we would always go together as pairs, you know, Apollo, me, and Titus.
Oh, that's right.
And it was a lot of fun. And being at Team Ringside, which is, you know, super crazy, and I don't do this with a lot of people either, you learn so much on the apron and seeing in and seeing and like learning, and it's like you see something, you're like, no, go for a pin, you know. In my mind, if I was in there, I would go for a pin, and then I come back and I'm like, hey, why didn't you do this, or I would have done this. And then the psychology behind it, really, you learn a lot being right there and being able to like look and watch super closely.
Wow. Yeah, that was really fun. And I wanted to ask you a little bit, you know, one of my favorite things about WWE, obviously the charity work that you do.
So tell us about Don't Be a Bully, Be a Star, and are you involved in any other nonprofits as well, or?
Yes. You know, the charity work that I do, I hold very close to my heart. I have a soft spot for children. I love giving back to the community. communities, you know, that don't be a bully, be a star. You know, everyone in life, I feel like, some way, somehow, may have been bullied or have been a bully.
Yes.
And as far as social media goes, you know, I still, on a daily, get comments, direct messages, tweets, whatever it may be, that some people might take a different way and really might affect them. And it all stems from the younger generation. And all I always say is, you know, kids are the future. Kids are, you know, the next up-and-coming generation. And if we can inspire them and have them change the world, the world will be a much better place. Also, I do a lot of work with UNICEF. And oh. UNICEF has recently partnered up with WWE as well. I went to their first event back in New York City of last year. It was football, you know, red carpet, really, really amazing dinner.
Wow.
And they had done a presentation, and it really touched me because it's in these countries that are, we take everything for, I mean, I'll talk for myself, but the littlest things I take for granted.
Yeah.
The littlest things.
Yeah.
And being able to see people struggle and just, you know, for example, girls that are going through puberty and changing don't have, you know, the feminine products they need over there, so they miss weeks of school. Or, you know, and that just, I could never imagine going through things like that. So being able to see that and give back and just do small donations here and there and going to the schools within America, we do these UNICEF events. And those children that we go to the schools are raising money to help other children. So I think in their mind is, you know, they're seeing what they can do to help other children in need. And that makes my heart warm, and, you know, seeing those kids, knowing that they're doing a good cause, and they get super excited as well, too. And we dance, you know, we do this little activity where we dance, and we, you know, get everyone involved, and then we sit there and we talk about why, you know, they can donate money, so planting trees in other countries, or the reasoning of why they want to donate money for doctor visits for children. Answers are like answers that I would never even think of, but it's so genuine and so pure, and that's, you know, I love hearing them and seeing and hearing the reasons why they want to do such things like that. And then another organization that I love to do and help with is, you know, Special Olympics and, you know, special needs children. I sent my son to the school teacher. So doing things with special needs children, you know, we think we have it hard some days. We wake up and we're sore, we're tired, you know, we're cranky. And you have to think of those children that just, they see nothing wrong. They wake up and they're the happiest kids on earth. It's really amazing. And then hospital visits. WWE, we do a lot of events at hospitals. And I like to do them as well as on my own time, too. Going in there and making someone's day, you know, it's the thing. And before, they look at us like we're larger than life characters, like we're superheroes. And, you know, they're in the hospital struggling. And as I mentioned, you know, they're sick and in need. And sometimes we wake up and take the littlest things for granted. So WWE has an amazing, amazing outreach program. It with so many other things that they're involved in as far as Susan G. Coleman, Special Olympics, you know, the veterans. We go and do tribute with the troops every single year. We dedicate a show, and we go to, you know, the bases and perform. And they see their eyes light up, too, as grown adults. And they give us the insights. And we go to the shooting ranges. They'll take us in a helicopter ride. Moments and things that I'll never forget.
Wow, that's super inspiring. Round of applause right there.
Really,
that is just amazing. All the good things that you do. And I wanted to ask you, you know, we talked to a lot of these indie guys who are trying to make a name for themselves, trying to get to that next level. Coming from one of the best in the world right now, what advice would you have for them?
Never give up. You know, WWE is always, always constantly evolving. We have brands in the UK. We have, you know, NXT here. We have women, you know, the Make Plastic, which is an all-woman competition and tournament. So it's always room for opportunity. And, you know, people always say, it is crazy because I was blessed with opportunity that fell into my lap. People always have been training super, super long for this. It's been their life. They've been knocking on WWE's door, you know, hearing people's stories that are in the business now, currently hired. They've tried out 4, 5, 6 times and got declined, declined, declined. But they've never given up. And, you know, they've landed great contracts. They've always, you know, kept striving. And there's so many different roles. As far as, you know, you try and you go in and you want to be a wrestler, right? Some end up, they come in the business and they end up as ring announcers or referees. Which is within the company is the best company in the world to work for. I hands down say that.
Absolutely.
So where can we find you on social media?
Social media, I am on Twitter, I am on Instagram. On Twitter is Dana Brooks, WWE. On Instagram it's @Sabera_DanaBrooks. I'm super active on both platforms. I do not have a Facebook. You know, I try and engage with my fans as much as I can on Twitter and on Instagram. So you can find me on those platforms. Also, I do a lot of meet and greets and appearances with WrestleMania coming up in Tampa, Florida, April 5th. We do a lot of access events, which we have signings, we have meet and greets, we do, you know, fan access tours. So make sure you guys check online for that and see where I'm out and about there as well. So it's, you know, I always try and meet new people, inspire new people, and change lives.
Absolutely. I feel inspired right now. What a fantastic...
I really do, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic interview. Ashley, thank you.
I would love to meet you guys. You guys,
oh, it's happening.
Yeah, it's...
Do you guys know that WrestleMania is coming to L.A. and Hollywood next year?
Yeah, we just saw.
Oh, that's amazing. That's going to be a good one. And you know what? I think 2020, you know, by the time that comes around, or maybe even sooner, we're going to see some gold around that waist.
I think we will.
That's the goal, right?
That's awesome.
Thank you.
No, Ashley, thank you so much. Absolute honor to talk to one of our personal favorites, but not just a champion upcoming in the ring, but outside of the ring as well. Just what an inspirational interview. Keep doing what you're doing, and best of luck in your future. Thank you so much for everything you do.
Thank you guys so much. It was my pleasure, and you guys have an amazing week.
You too. Thank you very much. Thank you so much, and honor.